With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, this is Eric Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard, and with me today I again have Jeff and Eric Rosenthal of It's the Real.
This is my first time on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's definitely not. And my coworker Jason Lipschitz.
Hey there. You almost said my
never,
name.
Never.
Correctly.
I think I'm doing it on purpose.
I thought you were going
now.
To. That's why I was like, hey.
I'm sorry.
Oh well,
that's okay.
New year, new pronunciation.
Yeah, exactly.
Except I've been doing it forever. 3 years at working at Billboard, I've never said Jason's last name right.
You've almost been here 4 years.
Four years in April.
Almost, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a presidential term.
Thanks. I don't know how I feel about that.
There was hope and change.
I know.
Here.
There was hope and change. Okay, so for this episode of the Juice Podcast, we're going to talk about the Grammys, seeing that they are happening on Sunday this weekend. I kind of just want to get your guys' thoughts on who you think will win and if that's different than who you want to win.
I can tell you right now who I want to win, very different from who will win.
With every category? We're going to focus on the rap categories just
I'm
because
just
of time.
The Grammys as yeah. a blanket statement.
I could let you, I'll list them. So, I mean, let's start out with probably the most controversial category, which is the best rap album. And so the nominees are Iggy Azalea's The New Classic, Childish Gambino's Because the Internet, Common's Nobody Smiling, Eminem's The Marshall Mathers LP2, Schoolboy Q's Oxymoron, and Wiz Khalifa's Black Hollywood.
Oh my goodness.
Jason,
gracious.
why did you just
Well, Jason is having a really hard time picking between six favorites.
Exactly. What a tough choice.
Do you guys think of who
think,
will and who you want
I think
to win?
The winner is My Crazy Life by YG. I think that's going to win.
It is.
Oh, Jason, you surprise, are it's not nominated.
Yeah, wait, but Jason's going to the Grammy Awards, right?
I am going to the Grammy Awards.
Is it possible that you will be outside picketing with all of the little kids for YG's album?
Yeah, that'd be so funny.
That'd be amazing.
And just like... My bosses are like, Jason, why aren't you on the red carpet? And me being like, have you heard My Crazy Life? Come on.
YG would be so happy.
He would be.
If someone from Billboard was out there.
You'd also be like 3 feet taller than like all of those picketers.
Yeah, that's probably true too. In terms of who I want to win, I mean, I guess Schoolboy Q.
Well, okay, you don't sound very sure
that's
about
like,
that.
I like that album. I don't love that album. I like it. It has some really good songs on it. I don't really like any of the other ones, I guess.
Damn.
Wow. What a surprise.
No, I'm sorry, guys. What do you guys think?
Well, Jeff. I just want to jump in for just a second and say that, because I'm curious to hear what Jeff thinks, because on my birthday every year in early December, when we go to dinner with our friends from home, we make a bet. For all of these categories, plus some random ones in case there's a tie.
Like the bluegrass category.
No, we do improvisational jazz or something.
Yeah, improvisational jazz. Solo.
Spoken word.
And so I do have all of them for the record. So I'm curious as to like whether Jeff changes
his
pick.
Yeah, what did I say?
For best rap album?
Yeah.
Who you expected to win?
Yeah, because that's different than who I want to win.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeff chose Eminem and I chose Iggy.
As to who you guys think going to win.
Correct.
I think Iggy's going to win, actually. I should change
You changed that. Your mind? Well, you can't change
it. I know. I wish I could change it, but I think Iggy's going to win. I think that like easy money is on Iggy. I think that the best option right now is I wish that Schoolboy Q would win of those choices.
See, I chose Eminem because I think that the way that the Grammy voters go right now is they're like, oh, like technical guy, and he's a name that I know.
Yeah.
Mm. Over the pop sort of
right.
element.
Yeah.
I kind of agree. Yeah. I see that also winning Eminem's album. I think people think that Iggy is going to win, but I think that's more as far as controversy. Like, that would make a good story, yeah. but I would definitely see Eminem winning for the same reasons that you said.
I mean, I think Iggy might be a big winner overall at the awards. Like, she may, like, come out with, like, you know, good numbers.
Right.
But as far as rap, I think people are, like, real traditional in that sense.
But you chose Iggy 2 months ago, right? I chose Eminem.
Yes.
Yeah, so we flip-flopped.
Yes, we did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Rosenthals can never be.
See, that's a controversy.
What I will say is that this is the only rap category in which Iggy's nominated, I believe. I'm looking at the other ones.
I wrote down all the rap ones.
Is she best
ones,
new artist
she's,
also?
She's best new artist. She's best new artist. So she has, and Fancy's also nominated for Record of the Year. But
right.
in terms of the rap categories, like rap song, rap sung collaboration, and rap performance, she is not nominated at all.
Wow.
I will
shut out of the major rap categories.
Do you guys think that if Iggy wins, it will be as much of a reaction or like outrage as there was last year when Macklemore won and
yes.
Kendrick didn't?
Yeah.
I think that mostly because she's a woman.
Yeah, it's something new for people to complain about.
Yeah.
Wait, why would people complain about that though? I mean,
it's not like they would overtly be like, oh, she's a woman who's rapping. Like,
right.
forget that. It's more like she's rapping. And in the back of their minds, it's like she's an easy target. And so people will be like, why is this girl who doesn't even have like the political leanings of Macklemore, like why is she?
Yeah, I think it's more like we've gone through white males winning. Now we're going to have a white female.
Right.
It's just something for people to talk about.
I think it's just a very easy target.
I would just say it makes Macklemore a lot better in my eyes. He has only us.
Honestly?
Like I look back and I'm like, you know what? Macklemore's not that bad. Also, Macklemore has like his singles were very popish, but his album wasn't. And I think that's very different than Iggy Azalea. She literally has like a pop rap album.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Macklemore seems so much better.
I still don't like Macklemore's music, just for the record. But I think the best thing that they ever could have done and did do is just like remove himself and go like, you know,
get married
into his bunker.
Or get engaged.
Not even that. Just like no one heard from him for the last like.
But then when
I think that's the worst thing he could have done.
What?
Why do you think that's the best thing he could have
done? Well, because here's what, and I'm going to answer this for you, Eric. I think that.
Thank you, Jeff.
When the one time he did pop up was when he went on Hot 97 and he had that conversation about race. And it showed him to be such a sympathetic person being like, oh, he's on the right side of things.
The only other time he showed up actually was for the protest marches throughout Seattle.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Two good moments for him. I think it's the best because he was such like he said on that Hot 97 interview that he made a mistake in saying that text, like how he phrased that text to Kendrick and then posting it on his Instagram.
Right. I think like, the posting it was like the worst part.
Yeah. What was his reasoning behind thinking it's a mistake? Why did he think that was wrong?
Because it wasn't his. I think he felt like he was shining the choice on Kendrick even more.
It was that he felt like it came off like he wasn't being competitive. That's why he felt like he shouldn't have sent the text in the first place. But why he shouldn't have posted it was because he felt like he broke Kendrick's trust. I shouldn't have won. Like totally like buying into. Like, he comes off like a wimp. What?
Right.
No, I'm curious as to why Jason thinks that maybe it was a bad move to.
Yeah, I think that it was a really bad move for him. And this is kind of, we're going away from the Grammys a little bit. I feel like I feel like it's been a bad move for him to kind of go away and take 2014 off. And I know he has a new single coming probably like early summer, but like I think the problem is that he just doesn't really have any momentum now. Like I always bring up this conversation. Last year, right around Grammys time, we were doing like who will win each award, who should win each award, and for the best new artist, I said who should win is just based on like who will have the best career.
Mm-hmm.
I said Ed Sheeran. I was like, well, I think Ed Sheeran's just going to have – he's going to be a big name for an extended period of time. And a coworker slash boss of mine who I will not name – it was not Erica – was like, no, Macklemore should win. He's going to be around longer. And I was like, I don't know if that's true. Like, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis had a huge 2013, and that might be it. Like, if Macklemore's next single doesn't do that well, I mean, he has a big fan base now, but like, if his next single just doesn't really do that well, he's not good. Like, I just don't think Macklemore's going to be a thing for, like, if that happens. I think there's a lot of pressure, and this goes back to me saying it was a bad move for him to go into his little bunker, because if he had spent 2014 collecting, you know, guest verses and collaborations and kind of appearing like at the forefront of hip hop and just getting his name out there more and more and more, not getting his name out, but just staying relevant, I think that would ease the pressure off of his next single and his next project a little bit. I think of it almost like 2 Chainz. Like, 2 Chainz, his second album, Boats 2, didn't do as well as his first album. It just, like, you know, he didn't have as big of a single. But, like, because the gap between those two albums, he just kept collaborating with people. Like, no one really thought of that album as, like, a flop. They were like, ah, yeah, 2 Chainz, like, that, you know, he's still going to be there. It's kind of comparing apples to oranges. But I don't know. I just don't know if Macklemore's still going to be, like, a big name if this next single, this next album doesn't do that well.
I was ready to disagree with you, but then I thought you made like a lot of good points. But I felt like the one real counterpoint to your argument, I guess, would be J. Cole, who basically takes a long time off and then comes back
with
a project that is. But then to your point, like someone like Kendrick puts out this single "I" after taking a year off, basically. And it's just as divisive as you would hope it wouldn't be.
Okay, I'll take a different standpoint where I won't compare him to anyone because I don't think there's a good comparison. Like when you were talking, I was like, oh, well, Kanye took a long time off after the Taylor thing, and it's better because he did take that because there was equal hate, you know. Certainly, I think, you know, for Kanye the Taylor situation and hate for Macklemore and the whole thing. But I'm not even sure that that's a fair comparison. I would say that Macklemore is someone, and again, I don't even like his music. So this is just, I think he's someone who's successful because he kept to him, like he kept to his vision. He didn't make pop records. He didn't go, pop came to him. Like he's somebody who was underground and like, and happy just making records that were for him. And he wasn't on anyone's schedule. He wasn't on anyone's like dime really. It was just his own. And I think, like, he became famous sort of, like, just naturally and almost by accident. And now there's, I think any expectations are not his. I think he's just a happy person to make the kind of music that he's going to make. And
you sound like a really big Macklemore fan.
Yeah,
huge
absolutely.
Macklemore
I guess,
fan.
Can
he win again, guys?
So you like him as a person.
No, well.
Or as an artist, like, as an individual.
Nice guy,
but not, nice you're not such a fan of his actual music.
No, I'm not even a fan. Look,
Eric wants him to win the 2015 Grammys.
Best new artist again.
I'm not a fan of him as an artist. I've met him only once in person, and I had a feeling that he didn't like
what we were doing.
Yeah. But
that, well, regardless, was mostly making fun of him on Twitter. So.
But regardless,
that is true.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, I guess then we'll move on from this, but I guess my point is that, like, if you were like, Jason, do you like 100% believe that Macklemore will, like, this time next year, like, Macklemore will still be a huge star? Like, I wouldn't make that bet. Like, it's just hard to say because if you think about how huge his singles were, the biggest parts of those singles weren't Macklemore. Like, they were the choruses delivered by other people. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know. So anyway,
well, let's just ask a Grammy question, I suppose. When they say best new artist, is that like the best person for that year specifically, or is it something with long,
I think it's supposed to be sight? The long,
it's a little
long term,
I feel.
I think it's both. I mean, it has to be both. It has to be also of that year, because, you know, mm-hmm. it's a yearly thing, but also right. I think they also consider in the long run.
Yeah, I think the Grammys pride themselves on saying, like, this artist is going to have a huge, like, this new artist is going to be a huge name. Like,
right. Like, you can't go anywhere without people talking about Esperanza Spalding.
I know. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, that one was tough. But, I mean, they are happy to be like, oh, we said Adele was the best new artist mm-hmm. before she was a big name. So, like, you know, it's funny. Yeah, Esperanza Spalding. That is really one of the weirdest ones ever.
So, for the best rap song, we have Nicki Minaj's Anaconda.
Nope.
Okay. Kanye West and Charlie Wilson's Bound 2, Kendrick Lamar's I, Wiz Khalifa's We Dem Boys, and Drake's 0-100, The Catch Up. So what do you guys think will want to win? Will/want?
I think they all want to win.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
I now...
Do you want to know what you said, Jeff?
Yeah, I want to know what
you said. You said Kendrick.
Yeah.
For best will win? Song?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, like, it's not my favorite song.
Jeff said Kendrick will win.
It's probably my. How many are
this
there?
This was in December.
My fourth favorite song on there.
There is five songs nominated.
Right. But I like my favorite personal song would probably be Bound to, or actually 0-100.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what the third one was.
We
so,
well, there was.
Oh well. Yeah,
what if We Dem Boys just won?
That'd be amazing.
Like if the Grammy voters were like, yeah. We are Dem Boys. Yeah. Like, sure.
Erica, what's your choice?
I love both Kendrick and Drake singles. Mm-hmm. I think that Kendrick will probably win. Or I don't know. I mean, Anaconda is very addictive, and I feel like people grabbed onto it. Maybe at the more of the latter end of it, but I hope that I hope Kendrick wins though. I really like I. I think that is
Kendrick
a great
wins
single.
Because he is the establishment sort of like choice. Like Kanye would be if Kanye played by the rules. I think that Kendrick is like the guy who people hear about and they're like, oh, he's a smart rapper. Like, I like him because my kids like him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Drake song to win, and I hope it wins. And I think it's awesome that he put out a song on SoundCloud, and it's, you know, just as sort of like,
for a
yeah,
Grammy
it's nominated
also.
For a Grammy.
It's like it's pretty much two songs into one.
Yeah.
Also.
Yep.
What about you, Jace?
I think Will win, Kendrick Lamar. I think, and I love that song, so I'm gonna say should win.
Aww,
I'm a big
I
fan. I don't really.
You, but I. If I remember correctly, you weren't very sure of it at first. It's not that you didn't like it.
I thought it was good when it came out, and now I think it's great.
Okay.
Sounds like a flip-flopper. Mm. I'm not voting for
John Kerry, 04. Yeah.
Well, I do think that the video made it a lot more amazing, just
so
seeing
good.
Kendrick.
Put that song on at a party. Like, that song, which I did on Saturday night, and I was very happy. I went right from lifestyle into I, and I was just like, yeah, this is a great night.
I did want to talk about how or why there is a best R&B album and a best urban contemporary album. Like, there's as if they don't want to categorize an entire group R&B, which kind of upsets me. Like, why do we not want to consider Beyonce's album or Chris Brown's X?
Well, what does it mean? Let me ask, what does it mean the difference between best R&B performance and best traditional R&B performance? Those are two categories with, like, totally different songs.
I feel like they place the quote-unquote adult R&B into R&B, and if it's not adult R&B, it can't be categorized as
right.
R&B, which is really frustrating.
Aaron Huckabee.
Wow.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
This is
not
talking
about
so
it.
Crazy. It's
so
like
traditional R&B is what?
So, example, for best R&B album,
Motown?
There's like Allo Black and Toni Braxton and Babyface,
right.
Robert Glasper, Sharon Jones. But in best urban album, Jhené Aiko, Beyonce, Chris Brown, Molly Music, and Pharrell Williams. What do you guys think as far as those categories and having different artists in different sections? I don't know. It
doesn't
make
any sense to me.
Well,
they
I think
don't
it's
claim R&B.
Well, no, I think that like you have to differentiate like the Beyoncés and Jhené Aikos from the Robert Glaspers or whoever.
Babyface.
You know, I mean, like, that's two different types of music. But the thing is that once you get into, like, the language of genres and everything is sort of multi-genre or, like, you know, like all everything sort of like ceases to exist, and so you're just putting up boundaries wherever you feel like they can be, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't make it doesn't make any sense.
That's all you're going to say
about
this.
But it does make sense. Like it does make sense, but it doesn't make sense.
I think that if it's not your traditional R&B music, it doesn't fall under R&B. It falls under urban contemporary. I mean, which I guess makes sense when you see the artists, which are Pharrell's Girl, which is not really an R&B album. Chris Brown has some pop and dance to it. So I guess if it's not majority R&B, then there's a new category.
Also, I have a bigger issue with why things are considered urban and not pop.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, also, just the term urban is
right.
So,
it's
like,
so gross.
Yeah.
It's just antiquated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that like everything is so like weirdly regimented in terms of like stereotypes and.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
And,
well, yeah,
and faces.
I mean, that's the I wrote a thing this week on like how to fix the Grammys, and one of the big
cancel
things
them.
Is just, like, that was actually the only step I had. No, it's just about redefining the categories. And then the big thing was that, and I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say about this. This is less of like a quick fix and more of like a cultural shift. Is like the Grammys have to do a better job of making album of the year and either record of the year, song of the year, one of the song categories, like the biggest one, like a thing that people actually care about, because nobody cares about them now. Like, you know how people like actually care about who gets nominated for best picture,
right,
and who wins best picture? Like, that can happen with the Grammys if they do it the right way.
Why do you think people don't care about that?
I just don't think people people see the Grammys as like an affirmation of taste anymore. I think they see it as like this cool event with a lot of cool performances and like, oh, my favorite artist won, but like, mm-hmm, it doesn't really matter who wins. Like, I think the biggest telltale sign of that is that nobody remembers who won every year.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think actually a real easy quick fix is probably to cut back on the performances. Like, make it less
That's also something like a show.
Didn't when Drake won his Grammy, wasn't it like on the red carpet? It wasn't during the, like, that's also ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
how
crazy.
Are you going to have Drake accept
they
his
don't
award
have any
on
of the dance
carpet?
Categories. During the show at all, like none of them, and like people care about dance music. I think that's the main thing, is that like leading up to the nominations, we should care more, like, oh, which five albums could get nominated this
year.
Well,
but that's the thing, like, it's that there's too much music,
yeah,
and it doesn't lend itself to a 3-hour television show, which then is already bursting at the seams. Like, you already are just like, this is so long.
Well, I don't think it has to be longer. It's just like, I just think they need to change how much people care about it. Like, you know, like I said, like with Best Picture, like that the Oscars are kind of a slog every year in terms of how long they are, but people like tune in because they want to see like that. Who wins, like best act. Like if you actually think about it, like we should care way more about like what song wins like record of the year more than like best supporting actress like in at the Oscars. But people care way more about that. It's just a cultural thing in the U.S. I don't know. It's just
well, I think
the buildup
of
it.
I think it's that there are so many categories. Yeah, like and the Oscars has less categories that you care about. So it's like best supporting on each side, best actor on each side, and the director and the film, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I feel like there has to be a way to fix like how we think about album of the year at the Grammys. Like it's just weird to me. Like, do you guys remember what won Album of the Year 2 years ago?
Arcade Fire?
That was 4 years ago.
So clearly all I remember is Adele winning a Grammy. That's
that was 3 years ago. 2 years ago was Mumford & Sons with Babel.
Like
that one, like, and just no one knows that. And it's like, it's weird to me that no one knows that. Like, it's Album of the Year at the Grammys. This is the big music award and just no one cares about
it. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I have to switch it up and talk about The Dream real quick, who came in with Tricky Stewart to play us his two EPs, Crown and Jewel. This album is for like the loyal Dream and Tricky fans of like circa Love Versus Money Hate, like his first albums, because there's very much like very rich production and the songs are, some of them are more than 6 minutes and they flow into the next. The transitions are as great as like Fancy. It's a Crown is that album. And then Jewel is pretty much the album with all the hits that he could have gave to other pop stars. Like, he kept those pop songs for himself, and that's what Jewel is made of. But, Jace, I wanted to ask you a little bit as to, before we get into the interview with Dream, what you guys kind of talked about.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about why they are doing this project this way, if they felt like it's a new beginning for them. He talked about leaving Def Jam and starting over at Capitol. Tricky and The Dream are people that have always kind of been proud to be self-made and to kind of take the artistry into their own hands and just be like, I want to produce this song. I want to write this song. I want to take this song for myself. So it was interesting to hear him talk about his last album, Foreplay, which wasn't really critically acclaimed at all and was a change up because it was so guest star heavy. Mm-hmm. And then Crown and Jewel has, I don't think, any guest stars on it. I think I heard one song maybe with some backing vocals, but it definitely wasn't like a big name. And so we talked about that. They're pumped. They're pumped. Well, him and Tricky were like, you know what was so fun? And I say this on in our chat, but like watching them listen to the music was so cool because like they just had like they were moving their hands like they were just like playing air violins and drums. It was so cool. You know what's so cool about The Dream? And I'm sure you guys, Jeff and Eric and Eric.
Jason loves The Dream.
I do love The Dream. what's so awesome about The Dream is that he's an artist who is like always cocky, but never in like an annoying way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he's very humble as well, but he's just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to dominate. Like, that's it. Like he was on the plane, and this girl was complaining about Justin Bieber's new music, and she was like, I wish you would just go back to Baby. And The Dream wanted to be like, that's me. Like, I'm Baby.
But he didn't. But he gives away his plaques to, like, neighbors that are obsessed with Bieber. Like,
I know.
By the way, isn't giving your plaques away to neighbors the definition of the American dream?
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
On that note, we're going to close this episode of the Deuce Podcast, but also we'll close with a big chunk of Jason's interview with The Dream and Tricky Stewart.
Thank you guys for stopping by to play some music for Billboard. Crown and Jewel, both so... It's such a welcome return for you guys. Like, I'm so happy that you guys are back. Tricky Stewart, The Dream.
Yeah, I'm happy I pulled him out of the record label. This is awesome.
So,
not more than I am.
So you're both happy to be back. How quickly did this kind of reunion come together for you guys?
I think one day Dream, he sent me a tweet, and he at the time he was over at Def Jam, and he sent me a tweet. He said, "Hey, you gonna let anybody get this next $20 million, or are you ready to stop playing, or something like that?" And I was like, yeah. You know what?
You left the N-word out, but yeah, that's something to do.
So I said, you know what? you know, and I'm sitting there at that point just like hating my life, like almost. And I said, you know what? And he said, I'm going on tour in Europe. When I get back in tour, but I think that was in July. Mm-hmm. And he's like, September, let's really start to focus. And when we got back together in September, it was like, it was sparks. Oh, it was, yeah, it was sparks flying. Like, you know, went crazy. You know what I mean? Just like instant excitement. And because the interesting thing about us, nobody ever asked us to stop making hits. We just stopped making them. Our last record went to number two. So it was really just a matter of getting in there and sharpening the tool, you know, and just making sure that we had what we had because we're our own worst critics.
Absolutely. I mean, did you guys have any, in terms of those early meetings when you guys linked back up, was there any kind of discussion about direction or like dream where you wanted to go? Or
it wasn't a discussion about direction. I mean, the direction was, I feel like we just owe it to the universe most of the time to just do what's in the heart to do. So when we do music, we're not thinking about how we're going to do it. Like, yeah. You know, Umbrella was written just based off of how we felt that day. Like, we didn't go in
was
with
it
a thought
rainy
process.
Day?
It wasn't raining. I mean, it was raining with bills and debt.
Yeah, it was.
A different kind of rain.
Yeah,
okay.
It was.
With bricks and rocks.
Bricks and rocks, yeah. It was raining, all right, but not literally. But yeah, it was a nice day. I remember we were converting one of the studios over, so it was like, it was a mess in the studio. It was just a mess. And we was just trying it out, like, hey, man, let's try to see, you know, if everything's working up to par. I think you just had installed Logic. I can't remember. And so he had this chord already. And we put in the drum loop, and I was like, all right, cool, stop it. And it was like after like 3-4 minutes. And then I went in the booth and basically sang it down. Like, and the song was then created in about 11 minutes or a little bit over 11 minutes. Wow. And that's how we're doing stuff now. Like, I think last night I made 2 records in 10 minutes. Like, it was just, you just do what you're there in the mood to do. And then, you know, those other records will catch up. You know, like if it's... Hopefully we'll have something for somebody who just does R&B or somebody who just wants a pop record or a rap record. Of course, if T.I. calls about a record, if Jeezy calls about a record, the alarm goes off in my mind of what to write, of course. So it's not hard to find the inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just watching you guys listen. My favorite part of listening to these songs was watching you guys listen to them with me, because you're both doing like the hand gestures and you're like both doing the drumming, and like you guys are such pure musicians. And I mean, is this, do you guys feel like revitalized with these songs? Does it feel like a fresh beginning? So like so many different new components with this.
I think more than anything, as my manager's phone was going off, he wants me to make a song. That's the song tone.
That's the first second of the next 10 minutes. Yeah.
Time to make a record. Bill do. No. revitalize. I don't think that's probably the word. I think realization comes into play, you know, of what we meant, you know, what it was that we were doing from the beginning. Because sometimes you don't know exactly what it means to other people, you know, until you stop doing it. And people catch you, you know, outside of your old situation and say, hey, that stuff you're doing changed a lot of lives and made a lot of people, you know, feel a certain type of way, or certain artists, you know, that had came out after, especially the Dream, after Love Hate came out.
Listening to these songs, Crown comes out end of March, Jewel comes out June. Yeah. You describe them as basically two separate halves of what will eventually be a full project.
Mm-hmm.
Why the Crown songs first and the Jewel songs second? I'm curious.
Well, it's a very simple answer. I think on one hand, people refuse to know me as a songwriter. They refuse to accept that there are things that I've done, you know, with others and with other people who are now my good friends, you know, and impacted their careers on a certain level, and they try to separate them. So, you know, and it, at the end of the day, I can't convert, you know, people like that. I have to do it through music. So if you think I'm one thing in the daytime and then I'm Batman at night, then that's exactly how I'm gonna put the album out. Like, I'm like, all right, well, cool. I guess I'm Bruce Wayne in the daytime, and then at night I'll be Batman. So that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, and I think even in his earlier works and throughout his work, always he's always hinted the fact that he was coming from the different side of the tracks, you know, yeah. whether it was Fast Car on the first album or Walking on the Moon or Right Side of My Brain, he's always alluded to the fact that there was a musical side that was to come. But at the same time, why it was created, it was not the thirst of like, oh, come on, let's come. Yeah, let's go over here. Let's, you know, let's see how far we can take this whole thing. So it's not the fact that the music hasn't been created. It's the fact that this time it's going to be marketed. And I think that's the biggest difference.
Well, yeah, too. Obviously, Capitol Records, now your home. I mean, you talked a little bit about it while we were playing the songs, but linking up with Steve Barnett, linking up with Capitol, why was that the right move for you guys?
Yeah, I don't think it's more so of Capitol than anything. It's just Steve Barnett. I think he's a genius at marketing. He could have been in any building, you know, and it still would have been about Steve at this particular point. And that was the reason why we went there, you know, in the first place. And he's counting on it, and we're counting on him. We're looking at him with a dead stare from 100 yards out. Like, yo, man, like you wanted these records, you put them out, you make them work. Which I think he's definitely capable of. And so, you know, it was just looking at his track record, I think he's just really good marketing things that aren't. It's not hard for me to market something that's already been displayed. You know, the people who have bought my albums in the past, you know, my culture, like the culture that I'm in, I love them. They love me. Like when I go out, especially when I'm in Atlanta, like they know exactly what it is. They just, of course, need to make sure that the record is on the end caps in Target. But other than that, we get it and they'll get it. But on the other side, when you're talking about records like what Tricky's talking about, Right Side of My Brain, Walking on the Moon, Fancy, those records where I was trying to lead on that the rabbit hole is probably a little bit deeper than, you know, some may assume. And you can't, it's really hard to do that when you base it on what's being played on the radio from your album.
Yeah.
So if you play certain singles from my album on the radio, that's what people start to think. So what needs to be marketed now, which was why we went to Steve, was the other side. The Right Side of My Brain should have probably been a single. Fast Car should have probably been a single, you know, but it wasn't, because it's, you know, and I think it had a lot to do with us, though. I think it was more so one of those things that we had so much music, we didn't paint a full picture, period, from the first album. Because I think there was a Living the Lie record that I did with Rihanna on that first album that was also pretty dope. And, of course, my core fans know what it is, but it's like watching Missy on the Super Bowl and everybody thinks that she's new and it's like, wow. Like, this is crazy how everything is that. She has so much to do with everything that people think that she's new. It's like, what? Like, that's Missy Elliott.
Yeah, that knowledge and that translation of it is first of all, I can't believe Fast Car wasn't a single. I forgot that it wasn't a single, but like, I think I just started remembering
you
that it was.
You had it on in the shower. You was just jamming. You was like, this is a single. This is my single.
I know, basically. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's crazy. I'm curious as to how you look back on 4Play, your last album. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it was
like, get out of jail free card. Go ahead.
No, I'm just curious because it feels like this is very much a different project for you. This the crown and jewel.
You have to know your partners.
Yeah,
you have to know the people that you're in business with and what you want to sell. You know, unfortunately, if you're on a Toyota car lot, you probably shouldn't take Bentleys over there to try to sell them from Toyota. Like, somebody's going to try to bribe you and try to figure out how they could pay $12,995 for your car. So when you got a Bentley, you need to be on the Bentley car lot. So that's what you're doing. You're taking the luxury and the love that we put and the time that we put into these records, and you're putting them on the right car lot to be sold from that place. And so when I knew that, I think from the last album, and it was my last album, period, in a contract obligation, it's kind of hard for anybody to really put that much into it. You know, like, I wouldn't expect Def Jam to put that much into it at that particular point. The same way I wouldn't put that much into it, because I don't think, and not from a musical standpoint, my music was what my music was, but from a marketing standpoint, it was like, well, he's going after this anyway. And I knew that they were thinking that. So I had to make the record or I couldn't get out of the contract. So I had to make it, you know.
So that's how you kind of view it, like you said, a get out of jail free card.
Of course. And just move on to the right car lot. You know that you're selling cars on the wrong lot. Let's go. Uptown, baby.
Well, I mean, what's interesting about, like, especially the Crown songs, I feel like they have that kind of original rawness that I remember from Love Hate and mm-hmm. from especially like some of the songs on Love Versus Money. You had like Love Versus Money Part 1 and 2, they were just sprawling and these kind of epic, like almost stadium songs.
Right.
And that this, I feel like a song like All I Need, which is on Crown, is totally in that area.
Definitely. Yeah, everybody who's heard this, the Crown record has said the same thing. I was like, oh, you're now back in that mood. And I was just thinking, I think along with Trick, like, we never left the mood. I can't point to a single thing, but I think when you're doing something at the magnitude that we were doing it at, we not only others, but we became spoiled with what we were doing and not thinking about it like, oh man, this doesn't happen every day. We should really take care of this and put it out the right way and make sure that we fight to make sure it gets overseas or make sure that I do a show in Paris or in London or whatever it is. We didn't fight for it because, and especially when you have a business in songwriting that's making millions of dollars, like, you know, it was like, oh, I got my R&B album. It was my culture thing, almost like a hobby. Like, oh, cool, I got this hobby thing I do in the morning from 10 to 5, from 10 to 11. And then I go to work. You know, we didn't know it would turn, because we love to do something, that it would turn into so much for somebody else. Like, it was just something that we love to do. And that's how we did this album. We just said, all right, we're going to do it. No strings attached, no nothing. We're not doing it for a particular person. We're just going to, whatever comes out, comes out.
Right, right. I mean, obviously, Crown comes out, like I said, late March. Jewel, in June. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee the next 6 months having a good amount of time to write for others or, you know, produce or how do you
pretty much
that?
Have a stockpile? We're like music terrorists right now. Like we're just sitting here like on just they're just there.
Okay.
Like literally we're taking out everybody.
You're taking out everybody.
You're taking
2015
out everybody.
Is the year.
Yes,
of,
it is.
Of tricking the dream
I'm
back.
I'm going to try my hardest. And I will hope that the rest of the music industry tries its hardest to stop us, because in the end, it's only going to create great music.
My God, this sounds like a CBS drama over here.
You hear it building up?
Yeah. I can hear the violin swelling.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Juice Podcast with Jeff and Eric Rosenthal and Jason.